Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to My Mom. I never listen.
We got some big time players here on our live stream for 24 hours, nothing but net. And one of my golf partners, Brittany Lincecome, has been kind enough to join us today on nothing but net. Brittany, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Look, you and I became fast friends. We got to play in the Hootie and the Blowfish Monday after the Masters. I basically carried your bag, drove the cart, got you a drink when you were thirsty. I mean, you're amazing. You're an amazing golfer. Tell us where you are right now.
Thank you so much for that. I am at Houston at the Chevron Championship, our first major of the year. One of my favorite majors since I have won this event twice. So it's just an honor to be here. The weather looks good. The golf course looks beautiful. Excited to get out there and get another practice round today.
Okay, so your nickname on tour is Bam Bam because you knock the snot out of the ball. I witnessed it up close and personal. It's absolutely gorgeous. Why does this course set up so well for your game? Because you've won this event twice.
Yeah, it's definitely a long hitter's course. To be fair, it was a different course when I won it twice, but nevertheless, you know, it's a long hitter's course. You have to drive it in the fairway. The greens are probably the trickiest part here. So, if I can get that putter rolling, there's no reason why we can't be on that leaderboard. But a lot of the holes go right to left, which is great for me. I love hitting the draw. So a long hitting course, hit in the fairway, and then make a few putts, and we'll be right there.
I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of fans after this interview because our people are very supportive of others that have been on this live stream. You're kind of new to the live stream and we're new to our friendship. Tell me a little bit about your background, about your family. Give everybody a little bit of something to cheer for.
Yeah, so totally family situation. You know, I started playing golf when I was 9. My dad and two older brothers kind of started taking me out and just progressed from there to junior tournaments. I did homeschooling to play more golf. I turned pro out of high school, and here I am, 20 years later, still playing this great game of golf and doing what I love. It's cutting back a little bit now that I have two small kids, but still playing enough just to kind of get my toes wet every now and again and still come out and see some friends and hang out for a little bit.
Yeah. Bam Bam 2.0 and Bam Bam 2.1 are in the making. So 20 years ago in women's sports, the landscape was much different. Coming out of high school to go pro right away. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, obviously very stressful. You have no idea, whether you're going to make it, whether you're not going to make it, so was it, do we go to college? Do we try to turn pro? A lot of decisions to be had. Luckily I had such a wonderful family support. My dad caddied for me my first 2 years on tour. So they traveled every week. Still to this day, if I didn't have, my daughter in kindergarten, they would still be here with me right now. They love coming out. They love supporting. And I think that's what kind of got me through, when you are transitioning from one job to the next and you're turning pro, I didn't know any girls out here. I didn't know what to expect. And to have my family, behind me and supporting me and helping me along the way was very helpful.
Brittany, tell me what it was like day to day, like being on the tour when you were 18 years old with your dad. I mean, there weren't very many young women at 20 years ago that were doing that. And now it seems more commonplace that, young women are coming out and playing a lot earlier on the tour. So kind of give us a little bit of background on that.
Yeah, it's kind of been like a ebb and flow situation. When I was at the past Champions Dinner last night talking to the Legends players, none of them went to college. They needed to start making money. There was no option to go to college. And then there was kind of a cycle of a few going to college. I was a exception. But now it's great seeing girls go to college. It's something to fall back on. Golf is a hard game. You don't know if you're going to make it. So why not go get that at least 2-year degree, maybe 4-year degree, learn to travel as a team, learn to, play new golf courses, meet new people, learn a few things along the way, and then try to turn pro. So there's not one way that it's different for everybody. So you just got to figure out which one, fits you the best and go with it, I guess.
So we were riding around the golf cart. We talked about a lot of different things at Monday after the Masters. One of the things that I was curious about is I ask all women this that have careers because we're all doing a similar thing. We're trying to balance family with our career, but there really is no balance. I like to say it's a rhythm. What's the rhythm of your day like now with your kids and with your husband and trying to balance everything that you're trying to, you know, you're not full-time back on tour. You're coming back part-time right now. So tell us how all that's working.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning game along the way. Like I said, my five-year-old's in kindergarten, so that's a little bit different. You know, previous years, I could just pack up one kid, two kids, take them on the road. You know, getting to show them the world has been really cool. You know, a lot of kids don't ever get to, you know, travel as much. So to be able to show them, you know, what mommy does, hopefully they remember it, you know, down the line sometime. But so now with a daughter in kindergarten, it's a little bit trickier. Obviously, they're home this week just because she couldn't miss school. So it's my parents are very helpful. Husband's very supportive. But at home, you know, I've been trying to get in a better routine of dropping her off at kindergarten, maybe going to the gym. The two-year-old still has to take a nap every day. So just getting all those things it's been fun to try to figure out. It's so rewarding. I mean, I would not change it for anything. I love having kids, and they're the best. They're the cutest little things.
What's the routine for practice? Like, how much time do you spend in the weight room? How much cardio? And then how much hitting golf balls right now?
Yeah, not so much practice these days, unfortunately. You know, I play on Fridays with our director of instruction, maybe one or two extra days in there, but the kids take up a lot of time. Like I said earlier, trying to get in a rhythm, dropping her off at kindergarten, go work out for an hour or two, and then, you know, come home and then start nap, lunch, all that good stuff. So I'm definitely learning, you know, trying to get in a rhythm. It's tricky. Every day is different, though. Something, you know, throws a wrench and you just got to kind of roll with it. Obviously, you know, with kids. But yeah, it's fun to try to figure out and see what we can squeeze in on the day.
Okay, so in basketball, for me, at my age, doing what I'm doing, I have muscle memory and I have the ability to self-correct. So if I miss, I know why I missed it. Mm-hmm. Typically, I can, you know, either it came off the side of my hand or my elbow was under the ball. I mean, I've got my shooting technique down. I wish it transferred to putting. For some reason, for me, and the golf swing, all of it. Like, it's not the same like riding a bike, like shooting a free throw for me.
Yep. So
what is the complement in golf to what I'm talking about as far as muscle memory and self-correct?
Yeah, you know, I wish it was. The putting is the hardest part for anybody at any level. You know, my driver is my favorite club in my bag. And same with your free throws. When it goes left, that's my miss. I know it's going to go left. I know it's never going to go to the right. And you have it ingrained. Like, I've eliminated the whole right side of the golf course. If it goes left, I'm like, great. I know how to fix it. Easy. No worries. Putting, it seems, you know, say on a Thursday, I'm doing one thing and I try to do that Friday and it doesn't work. It's not the same. It doesn't feel the same. It's always different.
So a professional golfer, for all of us amateurs out there in the world of golf that have been playing for decades, you got the same, like, it's the same for
100%.
You. So when I see 100%. A golfer take two in a bunker, I kind of go, oh, all right, they're normal. Like regular people.
Yep. Don't let us confuse you either. We shank it just as much as you guys do. So they just don't always get those on the camera.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just was caught off guard by, you know, you saying putting on Thursdays are the same as Friday.
Yeah, it's always different. I think that they say that's why we love the game so much, because it's always changing. One day you could shoot 65, the next day you could shoot 75, and you ate the same meal, you did all the same things, but golf is never the same. It's always different. So it's a love-hate for sure.
So the LPGA Tour, to me, is getting more popular. There, hopefully the purses are getting bigger. The more events are coming around. More people are investing in women's sports overall. This feels like it's a time that people like, well, me, for certainly I'm much older than you, but, you know, you have been grinding for opportunities like this. I've been doing the same thing. Where do you think we stand right now? Like, what's the most exciting thing that you see coming in the investment in women's sports?
I mean, I think it's only going up. Obviously, the whole Caitlin Clark situation has empowered every sport, every female, every woman, whether you're just even in a business life. She has had this effect on everybody, which is so cool to be a part of. But in golf, you know, we're still hunting for a new commissioner. So I think once we get that finalized, I mean, golf is in such a great place. We have so many young players that are good players, good talents that are coming up. And, you know, I think that all goes back to these USGA girls golf programs, first tee programs that are really bringing up women and young girls, you know, know, there for a while, especially when I turned pro, I had to play on the boys' golf team. We didn't have any girls to play with. So now to see all these organizations coming together, getting more girls involved with the game of golf, the future of golf is so bright and it looks so great. So, you know, with women in basketball or soccer or tennis, whatever it may be, it's just elevating all women and we're only going up. And it's a really cool time for women athletes to see the trends. And you know, hopefully we can keep doing it. Like you said, the majors, they've all stepped up. This purse this week is $8 million, which, I mean, if that would have been 20 wow. years ago, I would be a lot more wealthy. But it's just cool to see it. You know, I always wanted to leave the game better. And I can say in my 20 years, the game is so much better. You know, hopefully some of the other tournaments kind of get on board with these majors that are really elevating the game and growing their purses. And they want to be the best tournament out there. So it's really cool to see. And like I said, we're only going up, which is really cool.
So, Brittany, you mentioned Caitlin Clark, and everybody looks at it through a basketball lens, which is certainly the way I look at it, having the opportunity to do the Indiana Fever games. But I'm curious about, you know, how you see it in golf. I know she's a huge fan of golf. I know mm-hmm. she's been on the tour. She's played in some pro-am. She's mm-hmm. been around the game. But her impact and influence, not just on golf, but on corporate America mm-hmm. and women in C-suites. I'm kind of curious to get your take on that, because I honestly hadn't really been thinking about it like that.
No, I mean, she's just doing what she's doing is really elevating it across the board. I got to meet her in November at our tournament at Pelican, and she was doing a press conference. I had her sign a basketball for my daughters, of course. But just, she was just such a nice down to earth person. You know, you see some athletes, you never know if they're going to be hoity-toity, you know, the money's kind of gone to their head, but she seems very grounded. She was so sweet. She was beautiful. She had this beautiful outfit on, and then playing the pro-am, which, I mean, she doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have to come play golf with us, but obviously she loves the game of golf, and just for her presence to come into our world for one day is just so neat and so cool mm-hmm. To see all of our sports coming together. And again, it's only elevating women and women's sports.
So I have to tell you this because, you know, I shared with you that my favorite pro golfer when I was learning the game was Beth Daniel, because mm-hmm. there weren't any tall women on the tour. Beth was the same height as me. And I think you and I are the same height close. And so watching women of the same stature play the game and how they rip through the basketball or rip through the golf ball is just really amazing to me. So I want to tell you that after I teased Beth that she had dropped down to number two, she's been texting me. So I think it's bothered her a little bit.
I love that. She's such a nice lady. And that makes me laugh. But I mean, Beth Daniel will always be one of the greats, and I can be second. It's okay to her.
Yeah. Are you sure? Because she's going to see this, and I'm going to make sure that I tell her. She has a great event here for junior golf in South Carolina that bears her name. It's in Charleston, where she grew up. And she's a native of this area. So she's somebody that I've always admired for all the things she represents and stands for. She's such a great ambassador for golf, but she's also a great ambassador for women's sports. Brittany, so, all right. So just to time date this, this is before the Pro-Am in the Chevron Houston Open. And it's an event that you've won twice. So we want to put some good mojo on you, like $8 million. Okay. I just raised $1 million. I can't imagine winning that amount of money for a purse. Let me just get it on the record. If you win the event, I'm flying where to celebrate?
Houston, you're coming here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to be there. Thank you so much for lending some time. We wish you well. We love following your career. You've just made a bunch of new fans, and can't wait till we get to play golf again together.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you so much for having me.
We're rooting for you, Brittany. Brittany Lincecum, who's getting ready to take on the Chevron Open in Houston, an event that she has won twice in the past. It's two majors on her resume. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you.